Hello, Kelly.
I never know how to start these.
No, me neither. I went with like a nice casual, hi there.
Hello, I really ruined it. I was like, okay. I didn't respond. We can try again. Do it again.
I kind of like this. It feels real. Just dive right in.
Yeah, I'm going to do it again. Okay. So welcome to Snark Notes, everyone. On today's episode, that was very like after school special with me.
I liked it. Yeah. It felt right.
Okay. Well, today we're going to talk about the Bechdel test. It's a thing. Maybe you know what it is. Maybe you don't. Maybe you learn something from this podcast. Maybe you don't. I'm not here to make that choice,
and we'll find out. This is really in line with the after school special. Yeah. I like it.
Yes. So, Alice, do you want to tell us what is the Bechdel test?
Great question, Kelly. The Bechdel test is named for Alison Bechdel, who's an American cartoonist, and it's basically a test, one measure of viewing female representation in films, TVs, etc. And there are three rules that you need to be able to pass the Bechdel test. And they're pretty straightforward. The first one is there have to be two women in the film. Hopefully you can pass that. The next is that they have to have a conversation.
And they have to like interact with each other, yeah.
Yeah. And then the last one, the third item, is that that conversation has to be something about something other than a man.
Yeah.
This is also sometimes called the Bechdel-Wallace test because Alison Bechdel attributes it to her friend, last name Wallace, obviously. What's the first name? I want to give her like credit. Liz Wallace. And it also somewhat harkens back to something Virginia Woolf wrote about just the lack of female friendships in literature before the works of Jane Austen. Yep. Shout out to Jane Austen.
Well, and sometimes we were talking about sometimes they add a like sort of a fourth unwritten rule, which is like, do those two women have names?
Yes.
Because like having a name is an important part of like being a character and being a person, but that's not always there. But I think
the second item can also be somewhat subjective because sometimes people will say like, pass the milk is a conversation when really it isn't.
Right. So like if they have names and they, you could have a conversation not about men that's like not valuable at all.
Yeah.
So if they have names though, they tend to not just do that. But so it was like originally a cartoon like that she wrote that was or that she drew. Do you write a cartoon? Do you draw a cartoon?
We do a little bit of both. Yeah. Side note, Alison Bechdel also like wrote or like was the inspiration for the musical Funhouse, which is amazing.
You love music.
I love any time I can like put in a little musical knowledge, so it's worth talking about. But she like wrote/drew this cartoon.
Yep. So since then, it's become like a pretty popular way for people to measure whether or not a film, a TV show, a book, a song, whatever, like has adequate female representation. So it's actually like the rules are not that difficult. Like they shouldn't be that difficult to follow, and you would think that like most movies would pass that test. But it's actually pretty startling and surprising how many movies don't.
And movies like I love too, like Casablanca, one of the best movies of all time, fails it miserably. Princess Bride fails it. Star Wars only has three female characters and they never interact. At least the original trilogy fails it three times.
Yes,
not great.
Do you think Harry Potter passes the Bechdel test?
I was actually just looking at this because of course it was on my phone. And I think from a book perspective, probably yes. From a movie perspective, it varies film by film.
I would argue that arguably everyone's all-time favorite scene during the Battle of Hogwarts when Molly Weasley yells at Bellatrix Lestrange, "Not my daughter, you bitch," and then curses her. I would argue that
it's a conversation.
Because like she says, like she yells something.
About like Fred dying.
Yeah, at Molly Weasley, like to kill her. She's like, "Haha, no, I'm gonna kill your other kid." And she like goes to hex her, and then Molly Weasley is like, "Not my daughter."
No, like I would agree with that. I think as I was looking through, and it was like some Reddit thing, and these are somewhat subjective, but I think the two that didn't pass from a movie perspective were Goblet of Fire and Half-Blood Prince,
which makes sense
because they're the most like romance driven of the like eight movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it, like, you will sometimes be surprised.
Yeah, sometimes it's really obvious, though, like we were saying, 500 Days of Summer.
Does not pass.
And you're, like, not surprised. Even, like, a lot of, like, children's movies, like, that you would be like, oh, but I love that movie. Like, Finding Nemo, great movie, doesn't pass the Mitchell test.
That surprises me in that, like, there are all those sea creatures in the, like, little container. But I guess it was just Alice and Janning. Like, that was the one. Like, even when they're sea creatures, they're, like, little little blobs. There can only be one.
There can only be one, Alice.
It's not great. It's not great. Yeah. So it's, like, not the only measure of is a film feminist. And actually, recently, there's a movie, Sorry to Bother You, which is great. It's trippy as fuck. Progressive, and it doesn't pass the Bechdel test. Yeah. And the director was like, but I don't think that's, like, really important, or if that's a good measure of if it's a feminist movie. And on one hand, I'm like, well, you're a guy, and screw you for, like, disregarding a measure that, you know, is valid for a lot of people and does at the very least speak to, like, whether there is, like, female friendship in a film.
Yeah.
But also is somewhat right in that, like, you can have feminist characters in a movie that fails the Bechdel test.
Right, like you, well, I think it works both ways, like, because you can both have, you know, like, a feminist or a progressive work that has strong female characters in it, and it doesn't pass the Bechdel test. But on the flip side of that, you can also have works that are clearly not really feminist shitty. And really shitty and have some really strong, like, misogynistic themes or, you know, scenes or whatever, but that passed the Bechdel test. Was that we were actually reading on Wikipedia, shout out to Wikipedia,
love it.
That some people argue that the Sir Mix-a-Lot song Baby Got Back passes the Bechdel test because of the audio at the beginning where the girl is like, oh my god, Becky, look at her butt. So there's obviously two females talking to each other about someone else's butt, which means they're not talking about men. So technically that would make it pass, but arguably that song is very degrading to women.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, like, so, I mean, I think that's the thing, is that I think, like, a test like this, it's obviously, it has its limitations because the author, like, the creator of the Bechdel test didn't even really mean it to become as big of a thing as it has become. It was just kind of a joke. It was literally part of the cartoon.
It's a, like, I want you to stop and think.
Yeah. Thing. And I think it's useful for that purpose. It's useful, you know, to stop every once in a while and, like, question the media you're consuming. And, like, we were saying, I mean, like, we're women, so obviously it's important to us to stop and think every once in a while, like, are we being represented in the things that we're watching, and are we being represented adequately? And, like, obviously, you know, it's not foolproof. It doesn't mean that, like, just, you know, just because something doesn't pass it, you shouldn't watch it, or just because it does, it's good. But on the, like, on the flip side of that, I mean, obviously, just, like, everything, you have to be smart, and that you can't just, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's useful.
Yeah, and I, as you said, like, I think it's important, if you are a woman, to be like, ooh, how am I being represented? Like, are the messages I'm seeing in the media affecting how I view myself or how I carry myself? Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side, if you're, like, a man and you're taking this in, I think it's important to just be aware of your privilege, you know, where it's, like, there are any number of movies where, like, a man talks to another man about something other than a woman.
Well, and I think that maybe, like, you know, rather than being defensive about it, just be like, maybe my life is, like, more full and I have a better understanding of culture, society, the world in general, if I, like, don't only listen to perspectives that are my own perspective, which I think is a great segue into some examples of
the reverse.
We'll get to the reverse, but I was going to say, like, other tests, obviously. Female representation isn't the only kind of representation that's important. So people have sort of come up with other, like, versions of representation for, like, fiction.
Yeah.
And one of them is still about females, but we were joking. There's one apparently by a comic book writer named Kelly Sue DeConnick, and she calls it the sexy lamp test. And so it basically just says, if you can replace your female character with a sexy lamp and the story still basically works, maybe you need another draft.
I love this test so much. And I don't even really remember the movie that well, but I immediately think of, like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit and, like, Jessica Rabbit. I'm like, sexy lamp.
Could be replaced with a sexy lamp.
That feels, like, possible, doable.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, some of the more, like, terrible rom-coms, probably.
Yeah.
Like, Miss Congeniality. Sexy lamp.
I would fight you on this congeniality because like she solves the mystery.
Yeah, that's true.
There are some other Sandy B ones though. I was just trying to think of Sandy B.
I feel like Sandy B is probably in something.
Yeah, like early age, maybe Hope Floats.
Practical Magic. Actually, I take that back because Practical Magic definitely passes the Bechdel test.
Yeah, they talk about magic all the time.
Yep. So then there's also something people call the Vito Russo test. So for LGBTQ, etc. representation. So basically they just ask, like, does the film contain a character that is identifiably LGBTQ and it is not solely or predominantly defined by their sexual orientation or gender identity? And are they tied to the plot in such a way that their removal would have a significant effect on the plot?
Yeah. Once again, not high bars.
Not super high bars. Then there's a couple ones for people of color. Mm-hmm. So there's one, a writer, Nikesh Shukla, sorry, I probably said that wrong, a test where it's whether are there two main characters who are people of color, and do they talk about, or do they talk to each other without mentioning their race, which shouldn't be difficult, yeah. But it probably means a lot of them don't pass, a lot of movies don't pass. And then the DuVernay test, which asks, like, are there characters of color who have fully realized lives rather than serving as scenery to white stories? And then there was one last one that was published in The Guardian by Nadia Latif and Layla Latif, and they asked 5 questions for characters of color. Are there 2 named characters of color? Do they have dialogue? Are they not romantically involved with one another?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Do they have any dialogue that isn't comforting or supporting a white character? Which I feel like is a big one. And then, is one of them definitely not magic?
Just speaks to a trope that happens a lot.
Yes. Well, and then because you were saying there's like people are calling it like the Riz Ahmed test for specifically for Muslim characters.
Yeah. And it just came out like a couple weeks ago. And there are like 5 things and I've been looking for it, but I can't find it. I think it's worth like looking online for it.
Oh, wait,
I found it. It's like, is there a Muslim character? Are they talking about the victim of or the perpetrator of Islamic terrorism? If so, you fail. Are they presented as irrationally angry? Are they presented as superstitious, culturally backwards, or anti-modern? Are they presented as a threat to a Western way of life? And then if they're male, are they presented as misogynistic? And if they're female, are they presented as being oppressed by like male counterparts?
Yeah. So I think all of these, I mean, again, all of them have their limitations, and just because a piece of work doesn't, like, meet all of these qualifications, it doesn't inherently mean that it's bad. It doesn't mean that it's not valuable, but I think it is important just from a sense of, like, questioning your own perspective or understanding that we're only getting limited perspectives, and that sometimes we get stuck in this loop of telling the same stories over and over again, and that's how we create stereotypes, or that's how we buy into stereotypes, because the fiction and the works that we consume only work to support those stereotypes. And things like this, beyond just being fun and, like, silly and making you laugh, like, force you to stop and question. Like, if you just think, like, in the last, you know, like, in the last 3 years, have you seen a movie with a Muslim character in it that doesn't, you know...
Maybe the Big Sick, but it was, like, revolutionary.
Parks and Rec. But I don't think we're really safe. Tom Haverford is.
I think what's interesting about TV shows is they're given more time and more runway to pass these. So it's actually especially egregious if a TV show fails it, because they have more than 2 hours.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. I think this is probably a good opportunity to segue into, like, the reverse test.
Yeah.
Because I think the other thing that's really interesting, if you think about, like, these tests, like the Bechdel test, the Sexy Lamp test, Riz Ahmed, all the others, is when you then apply the same rules to, like, a cisgendered, heterosexual, white male. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, that's easy.
Yeah. There's, like, very few. You can actually, like, Google lists, and there's a really great one on IMDb that really explicitly, there's not very many of them.
I think there were, like, 5.
There's, like, maybe, there's probably 15 on this list. So there's not many of them, and some of them are ones you've never heard of.
So this is for the reverse Bechdel test.
Yeah, so these are ones where, like, you could say, like, the questions would be, are there at least two male characters? Do they talk to each other? And do they talk about something that's not women?
Yeah.
So obviously that's, like, most movies meet that standard.
A lot.
But Bridesmaids does not, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And just, like, another reason to love Bridesmaids.
Yeah, and Juno doesn't either.
Juno doesn't.
Awesome.
Either Steel Magnolias, which is an old classic. Some weird anime movie I've never heard of, a couple other old movies. You said Juno.
Yeah.
Maleficent, which came out a few years ago. The original version of The Women that came out in 1939, not the more recent 2000s remake, which is interesting.
Yeah, well, the original version, it was all women in it.
Like, yes.
I don't think there was a single man,
yeah.
And it was at a time when, like, that was unheard of.
Yes. And then, Coraline, which is a really great children's movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's a few other ones that I've never heard of. Our favorite that doesn't pass the reverse Bechdel, When Harry Met Sally.
Because it also doesn't pass the Bechdel test, yes. And that's kind of cool that it fails both.
Because it's just a great rom-com, and it's a movie about romance and about... it's a movie about heterosexual romance.
Fair.
So, there's that.
But it's a movie that's, everyone is just talking about romances all the time.
Do you think I love Love Actually?
Oh.
Probably doesn't pass the Bechdel test.
But maybe. Maybe, because there are so many little storylines.
But maybe doesn't pass the reverse one either.
I feel like there's so many storylines. Does it pass? You have all the girls. What about a situation, it's like not feminist at all, but when, is it Colin is in America, and he's like with all
those
girls.
No, but they're
girls.
Always talking to him.
They're always talking to him, but they're not talking about him. Does that still like...
I don't think it counts because he's there.
Okay, gotcha.
I literally can't think of a scene.
Does Emma Thompson talk to someone? Does she talk to Laura Linney? Were they interconnected?
No.
And she doesn't talk to Keira Knightley.
She talks to Laura Linney about Laura Linney's love interest.
Fair. Does she meet Natalie?
Yes. And she's like, oh my God, if you were a few years older, you would be my brother's type. It literally doesn't. There's not...
Wait, the little kid that wants to be lobster number two?
Yeah, but he's a boy.
Damn it, I'm trying so hard.
Love Actually is a great film, but it definitely doesn't pass.
Yeah, I'm probably right.
Yep.
Womp womp. I feel like we need to end on a better note than that.
I think it just, if you're someone who cares about, like, getting a well-rounded perspective out of the media that you consume, then this isn't the end-all be-all. This doesn't mean that you have terrible taste if you love movies like Love Actually that don't pass these kinds of tests. It just means that, like, maybe you become more cognizant of the choices that you make. And maybe, like, it, you know that if you've watched Love Actually for the 5,000th time, maybe you throw in a movie that, you know, challenges you and that gives you a different perspective.
Yeah. I would also add to it that I think a lot of times it's also a rallying call for more women or more people of color or... just more people that aren't white men to get involved in the writing process, the producing process, the directing process. Not easily done at all, but it's a call for more representation.
Right.
Because they're going to think, is this like a friendship like what I have with my friends? Is that representative?
Right. Like, it's easier to have realistic depictions of women and of minorities. Because even beyond that, like, we only talked about race and like LGBTQ and like gender, but like then there's like, think about how little representation there is of like people with disabilities.
Totally.
Or like any other like number of you know, like things that make us different. So it's, you know, it's just something to think about. Like, what are you watching? What are you reading? Are you listening to Baby Got Back on a loop? Probably. You need to fix more things about your life than the Bechdel test can help you with, but something to think about.
I think we gotta end it there. Okay. I mean, those are words to learn from.
You're welcome. All right. So, yeah, just make smart choices, like subscribing to our podcast, following us on Instagram, and all that good stuff. So, thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.